everyone, welcome to a new episode of In Other Words with Danielle and Zara.
So this is a podcast where we talk about a wide variety of different subjects, from who knows me better to lies we tell ourselves. So in other words, we talk about all the things.
How exciting is
Danielle,
that?
Danielle, yes. The most exciting.
I also
tell
think
us
so.
About your life.
My life, okay. So my internship is coming to an end. I think when this episode comes out, it'll be like within my last 2 days of my internship,
wow.
Which is crazy. I can't believe how
crazy.
Yeah, I can't believe how fast the time has gone, but it has been like a really cool year.
Yes,
and
you've been so fancy and
indeed,
important.
So important. my thesis is a bit slow, but this weekend
we keep on going.
Yeah, it's going. It is going. That is for sure.
That's
but
all that matters.
Yeah. I had like these expectations in my head that I would work very fast and I haven't. And that's annoying me. Yeah. But that's okay. We'll get through it. What else have I been doing? Nothing much really. Those are my life updates. Tell me about yourself,
cool.
Zara.
Nothing much to update. Work has been busy. The end of the year is crazy for everyone, but especially if you work for a church. And I have summer camp coming up with my teenagers. So we are well on our way to raising all the money because summer camp is so far away and we have to pay for that.
Yes, sure.
Pray that the Lord brings in so much funds. Thank you. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name. Otherwise, I've been fine. I'm going to be in Cape Town in 11 days' time because I'm coming down for my cousin's wedding.
Can't wait.
It is also Danielle's birthday in 11 days' time. But when you listen to this, she will already be 23. Yes.
Well, so, in 2 days' time, I think. I think this will come out the Monday before my birthday.
Oh, I don't know,
I think.
Shh. Okay.
Sorry.
Can't ask me such complicated questions.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Danielle. So first I can promote our local brand or I can ask you my question. Which would you prefer?
I think you can promote the brand and then ask me the question.
Okay. So the brand I'm promoting is actually not a brand. It is a book. So it is the book that we gave away a copy of for our 2-year giveaway. It is Unshackled by Basil Sparks. And yes, I am biased because I know Basil, but I think it just reaffirmed just how wonderful Basil is because he writes with such, like, he uses such personal touches, but yet it is still so accessible for everyone, like young and old, like regardless of your race. And it's set in like an African context. So you definitely, I mean, it uses African proverbs and Basil grew up on the farm. So you really get that. But then you also get the very westernized kind of context in which we now live. And it's essentially about him talking about all of the things, the lies that he's believed about himself and about life that through the years God has revealed and kind of helped him like escape and get out of. And yeah,
so
it's
cool.
Been,
yeah.
It's been like really helpful and things have been coming up lately. Like I think in ministry, the one thing that I've just been reminded of lately is that people are people, not projects. Because even though I love people,
so true.
In ministry, I'm like, I want to get you to this place with the Lord. And it's like, first of all, that's not my job. Second of all, they're a person, just like I'm a person.
Yeah.
So it's really like very good. So if you want a copy, contact us, contact Basil, go on Amazon, do the things.
Mm-hmm. Do the things.
And then my question.
Oh, no.
Okay. So this is your opinion on something that has been all over social media and the news the last 2 days. And I think it's hilarious, but you let me know.
Okay.
Charlize Theron.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
And her speaking
I was actually
about
thinking
her
about
44,
that before we started recording. Oh,
her
sorry.
44 people speaking Afrikaans being a dead language. People are offended,
dude. It is so funny. It is so funny. I mean, okay. Someone has to be very brave, especially as an ex-South African.
Yes.
To speak about South Africa. Because all
yes.
I can say is that South Africans are brutal, especially if you're not living in the country anymore. I feel the same way. I feel very protective over like my country and things, especially when it's like someone who used to live here. Because I'm like, you don't have a right. You moved away. You don't have a right anymore. I'm so sorry. So I think she's very brave for saying something like that. I think it is funny. And I think a lot of people hold a similar sentiment about Afrikaans. But like, it is also, I think, the second most spoken language in South Africa. So I'm like, just because it's not spoken internationally doesn't mean that it's dying, because it's certainly still like, it's still going in South Africa.
Yes.
And another thing, like I was saying to my mom, and I was also speaking about with Devon the other day, not related to like Charlize Theron, or Theron as she says.
Theron. She's not Afrikaans, so.
No.
Don't you dare.
A lot of people forget, like when people think about Afrikaans, they often think about like white people who speak Afrikaans, but they forget about the whole colored population, for like a lot of whom speak Afrikaans as a home language. So I'm like, you know, it's not just one group of people, but I do think it's funny. I think the reactions are absolutely hilarious, and she's very brave to speak about that.
She is.
What do you think?
So I agree with everything you're saying. I think, again, it is a language that's spoken in like one country and one country alone, which is probably the sentiment that she was maybe getting across. For me, it's funny because of the way that she said it. She wasn't like attacking Afrikaans per se. It comes across that way, but she was making like a joke.
Like,
I think if we were like famous to her degree, we would have been cancelled long ago because of all the nonsense we say. But it is hilarious to me. People are like, "Eh, Charlize," and like, "How dare you?" And I'm one of the 44, which is just playing into the joke.
Oh, so funny. Like, I want to start a group chat with the 44 people who speak Afrikaans.
And I mean, look, it is, for the long time, was seen as the language of the oppressor in this country. But that's just like something that comes with it that isn't necessarily accurate, like you said, like the colored, like Christianity is the white man's religion, but it's really not. So... I just thought it was funnier rather than like anything else. And it is just funny to me how angry people are. I'm like, Charlize, you rather shut up.
Just like, don't speak about it anymore. Like, you actually don't, like, I think this is the general sentiment, is that people are like, you actually don't have the right anymore. Like, you've lost that. Sorry.
Anyway.
So let's get on to today's topic. Do you want to introduce us to what we're talking about?
Yes. So we are going to be speaking about, I think, a topic that you and I are both passionate about, because it has been something we've spoken about for a few years now, since we've entered quote unquote adulthood.
Yeah.
Is the idea of having kids, because I think for generations it was just the done thing. You get married, you have children. That is the...
Exactly.
Trajectory of your life, especially as a woman. And I'm terrified of having children. Like, it is like solidly like terrifying to me. And so we kind of just wanted to speak about why we're terrified, because I think they're valid feelings. They might not be like, some of them might be quote unquote stupid, but they're still my feelings. So
yeah,
I think the reason we want to talk about it is also, I think a lot of people probably feel this way and just are scared to say anything. Like, you just don't say those things, and we just like to say all the things.
All the things, all the time.
Yes. So I actually didn't put mine in a specific order. I'm just going to be all over the place talking about my reasons, if that's okay.
Okay.
Secondly, I had so many fancy notes that I left at home, so...
So
this will just be my big brain talking about these things.
Yes. Well, luckily you have like the biggest brain in the world, so
yes,
it'll be so good. Okay.
Do you want to start us off?
Okay. So I titled my notes "Kids Are Scary," but
they are.
Anyway, so I'm just gonna talk about. I mean, I feel like my reasons are quite broad. And might not necessarily be like why I'm scared, just like maybe why I'm hesitant as well.
Yeah. I mean, because realistically, you probably will have kids. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't come with fears.
Yeah. So I do want to say that like there was a stage when I was younger where I was genuinely like, oh, I actually don't think I'll have kids. But now that I've like gotten a bit older, not that I want to have kids anytime soon, but I'm like, I actually don't like, I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world, but we'll
see. I thought we were going to announce your pregnancy in this episode.
Oh, surprise.
Your miraculous conception.
Oh my gosh, no. Okay, so the first reason why I'm scared to have kids is pregnancy. And I'll like, I do want to preface that obviously getting pregnant and having birth, giving birth and having a kid that way is not the only way to have a child.
Yes.
But like, I think I would be open, I would want to have some, a biological child maybe. And the reason why I'm scared, why I am scared of pregnancy is because for a lot of women, it is like a completely life-changing and like body-changing experience. Like the thing is, your body literally never goes back to the way it was. Like even if you have like the most natural labor and like you don't tear and all that, like your body is still different. Like it will never go back to the way it was, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but I think that's something to come to terms with, like if you've grown up a certain way, if you've grown up with a certain body, I think it can be a difficult thing. And like just some things that I think about is like a lot of women experience hair loss, some women literally lose their teeth during pregnancy, which is horrifying to me. And like for a lot of women, it like wrecks your bladder, which is also scary to me. And there's obviously even worse things. I think like if you want to have kids, it is sort of just a sacrifice. But yeah, that is, that honestly is like, as superficial as it sounds, it is something I think about. Like I feel like even as a, like a woman growing up, like it is, a lot of girls have sort of, you know, messed up ideas about their bodies, and like it comes, it's like, it's a lot to come to terms with like how you look and all that. And then when you get pregnant, then like it all changes again. And on the plus side, I do know of a lot of women who say like they grew up maybe with body issues, but then after being pregnant, they sort of didn't really care so much anymore. So that's a good thing. Yeah. But yeah, that's my first reason.
Okay. So I'll just jump off that and I'll mention pregnancy first, because I also wrote that down. And I think for me, it's like some people have the most amazing pregnancies and then I hear like horror stories. And horror even just stories. Looking... I think a lot of like what I'm going to say today comes from the fact that my brother was born when I was 16. So like I had an up close view of like parenting and stuff. And when my mom was pregnant with my brother, she had morning sickness until 22 weeks. And I'm like, imagine throwing up and feeling sick.
No, thank you.
Every single day, all day for 22 weeks. That's terrifying for me. And it's also like, it changes your body, and it is it's just a terrifying thing, but it is also the most beautiful thing, and I'm not taking away from that.
Absolutely.
Because it is like a miracle. And just on the body image thing, because I actually spoke to a couple of moms preparing for this episode, so it wasn't just a kids are horrible downer episode.
Yeah.
But I spoke to our friend Courtney. And she was saying like I think she used the word pudgy. She said she's the pudgiest she's ever been in her life, and she said like she's not even fazed. She said the fact that her body like grew a human, she's like, I've never been so in awe of my body before.
It's amazing.
And so yeah, I think it can be. But then also like I follow like dancers, and I look at Lindsay Arnold and Whitney, and I'm like, your body literally looks like
perfect.
And you had a
I suppose like when your whole job is being active, like
and I wouldn't be that. So that is scary. The idea of pregnancy and how uncomfortable it sounds is scary. It's like your body's like, also not your own anymore.
That's exactly it. And like it isn't your own for basically years and years after giving birth. Like it's not like you're pregnant, you give birth, and then like, oh, you have your freedom again. Like, no. Like, if you're breastfeeding, then you have that to go through for like a year or two or however many years you breastfeed, and all that. But yeah, also just like on the whole weight gain and all that, like I really do just want to say that there's no pressure. Like, there shouldn't be any pressure to bounce back after a pregnancy.
No.
Like, like you've literally just
like you said, for people who it's their job to stay active, mm-hmm. it's a different story. But most people story. That isn't their job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I move on
yes.
to my next one?
Your next
okay,
one.
So this goes hand in hand with pregnancy, but the not another it, reason why I'm is birth.
Both? Okay.
And like I do also just want to say again, I think like birth is the most incredible thing, and I love watching people's birth vlogs, like not watching them give birth, just like their experience.
The experience.
And all that.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it is fascinating. Like every birth is different. I've seen women who have like the most incredible hospital births with epidural. I've seen women who have the most incredible at-home births, like just in the water
yes.
doing their thing, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. But like birth is also scary, and I think mm-hmm. I could talk forever about the subject, like forever, because mm-hmm. on one hand, like it is a very natural thing for women to go through, but also like it is very painful and you could literally die. So
yeah, I think people
it's very
like
scary.
You generally don't hear many stories like that, but like the reality is for so many years before medicine is what it is today,
yeah,
it was quite common to die in childbirth or to mm-hmm. have babies that were born still or were breached
yeah.
and like, you know,
exactly.
So, yeah, I think that like I actually saw a post about how like social media has made birth seem scarier than it is, and like women
yeah.
should embrace it. And mm-hmm. I get what they're saying, but at the same time, like personally I'm terrified because like mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not the smallest human, but I'm a fairly teeny tiny human.
Yeah.
So the fact that like I would have to birth a teeny a tiny human is still quite scary.
Mm.
And yeah, it's like it is a painful thing, like they say you
yeah.
forget, but like that doesn't take away from the fact that it's super painful in the moment. And if I
yeah.
if like my period pain is anything to go off of, I'm like I'll die. So
yeah
birth is scary, and also they say it's super important to have a birth plan, but like
it hardly goes to plan.
It never goes to plan. And yeah, it's just like deciding what is going to be best for you can be so scary, you know.
Okay.
Cool.
Do you want to go?
You can go. I think
okay.
most of we all have the same
we'll
answers,
be
but
the
it's
same.
Fine. Yeah.
Okay. My next one is so basically having your child either like be a stillbirth or getting a childhood disease or like dying as a child. That's one of I don't think I would actually ever move on from that, to be honest. Like knowing me, I don't know if I would ever be able to move on. I know a lot
yeah.
of people have gone through that and like I'm so sorry, but
yeah.
that is genuinely like when I think about it, knowing how paranoid I am about like other
health.
people, yeah, and like health and like other people in my life, I'm like I actually don't know what I would do. And the idea of like being like constantly paranoid about like my own child's life is not like the most exciting prospect to me, so that is also something that puts me off having children, to be honest.
Yeah
anyway,
for sure. Okay, so then my next one is just the fact that it changes your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's probably a sense of like my life is not my own anymore kind of thing. And
exactly
with that comes something that might sound so controversial. And I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say this like before, but there's something weird for me. And like, I'm scared to say this because I don't want to be judged, but like, I think with having kids, there's like this, now you have to share your spouse. And I know that sounds so like dodge, but
yeah, I don't think so.
Like, but it's like, I think especially as Christians, like when you get married, it's like you're kind of like, okay, I finally have this person always around, you know. And it's like scary for me how much like having children can change a marriage.
Yeah.
And like I see so many people's like marriages fall apart because their children become their everything. And like I don't know, it's scary to me. But I was speaking
I also think
to
so.
I was speaking to Ali, who is my like a mentor to me, and she was saying how it's amazing how when you get to that season, like God just gives you the grace that you need, and it's not like anything else. It's not like looking after someone else's kids. And like both her and like Emma, a friend of us who's pregnant, she was saying like she obviously loves Justin to bits. She's like, but she cannot wait to see him be a dad. And like Ali was saying how you see things in your spouse that you didn't know was there, and it just makes you love them more. And so like that's exciting, but it's also like, I'm like, what if I just want to like sit on the couch and talk to my spouse for an hour, but they're like little kids saying, daddy, come play. So as dumb as it might sound, like I'm like scared of that.
Yeah, I think that's honestly quite a valid fear. And yeah, just to piggyback off of your point, I basically said the same thing, like your life is no longer about you and your time is not your own. Especially if you're a mother, like I mean, listen, I think a lot of dads are stepping up a lot more now, especially in like the more recent generations, and spending more time with their kids, which is amazing. But at the end of the day, I think
that's actually more in the Western, like,
Well, that is what I'm talking about. Like, just in my experience and like the people I've seen. But I do think it is for a lot of in most families. I think it's still the mother who is more the primary caregiver. Just because, I mean, like we've spoken about it before, like you're the one who like carries the child, who gives birth, who essentially looks after the child in the very early stages of life. Yes. But like, honestly, I mean, I've looked after like Courtney's baby, Lorelei.
She's a cutie.
Quite a few times. She's such a cutie. I think she is the cutest child. But like when you are like looking after a child, you can't actually do anything by yourself. I'm like, I don't know how anyone does this, and it like really reaffirmed to me that I do not want this anytime like soon in my life. Like, it really reaffirmed it to me. Like not in a rude way, like she's like an absolute joy to look after, but like I can't just go and decide, I can't just decide, oh, I'm going to go and make my own lunch and spend time by myself. Like, I can't do that, you know. And like if you're a mother,
moms
then I think
always
it's even
joke
more.
Like, I just want to go to the bathroom by myself.
Yeah,
you can't even do that.
That's a pretty scary prospect to me, because this is another thing. I need alone time. Like, I need it.
Me too.
And I'm so scared that, like, if I have a kid, that I will just be having nervous breakdowns the entire time, because I'm like, I can't be
alone.
And like, I also like, I don't like people touching me all the time, and kids like to touch people.
Then my next one, which is a common one, is just that, like it or not, kids are flippin' expensive.
Yeah.
So it's not like, I think people maybe blow this up to an extent, but it's like, it's not just like nappies are expensive. It's like university's expensive. It's like a lifelong financial commitment.
It's a lifelong thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, yeah, it can just be like quite a burden. And like, I think I'm the type of person where like I want to give my kids as much as I can, you know. Like, they don't need to have the best of everything, but I'd like them to have, you know, or like give them the best that I possibly can. And I feel like it's a little bit scary when you're not in a financial position to do that. And as dumb as it sounds, like, it's actually not that dumb, but like, I don't ever want to struggle financially, and I wouldn't ever want to put that burden on a child.
So
I think it can be scary, and like, then I can't go on holidays by myself, and that's rude.
So rude. I also think so. I mean, I think that is probably one of the biggest factors in people choosing not to have kids these days. It's just, it's so expensive, and you know what, the cost of living is only getting more and more expensive, which is pretty scary.
And I don't think it's a reason not to have kids, like, at all, unless you're like living in like complete poverty, because I think that your lifestyle just adjusts. But
it's
flipping expensive.
But I feel you. The next scary thing about having a kid is that you have to teach them to be good people, and to be a good adult and all that. And I think, I mean, I think most people like have pretty ambitious desires about what their kids are going to do and like they're going to raise them in such a way, but like, you know, a lot of people are not that. Yeah, a lot of people are not that good, and it's kind of difficult to raise.
There are serial killers that came from normal homes too.
Yeah, that is literally terrifying to me. Like, what if I put in all this effort into raising like amazing kids, and then they end up being very scary people? Like, oh, it's so scary. Like, and like, it's no one's fault. Like, I really never want to put the blame on any parents for like the actions of your kids, although
except Putin. I mean,
if his mother
did better. If you know, you know.
Oh, if you know, you know. Yeah, I mean, a lot of things that happen in your childhood like do affect you as an adult. But a lot of sometimes it's literally got nothing to do with you, and that is pretty scary to me. And also just raising a person to be like a functional adult and a good person. Human. Oh, it's a very scary thought, you know?
Yes. Okay, then my next one is my hormones, but specifically because of the fact that I have bipolar. And so if I had to have biological kids, like I'd have to come off my medication. So not only would I be dealing with normal pregnancy hormones and what comes after that, but I would like not be on the medication that I've been on for years. And it's a sacrifice, but it's just like incredibly scary. Like, am I going to have a complete nervous breakdown?
Yeah.
If I have to experience pregnancy and motherhood. So like that is genuinely terrifying. And that also like comes with a lot of planning. And you know, like people fall pregnant by accident all the time. Yeah. So it's like the fact that I have to like go into marriage, and if I choose to have biological kids, it has to come with like a serious game plan of like, I need to get myself off my meds at this time and do these things at this time. Like that's very scary for me.
It is. It absolutely is. Have you ever like spoken to anyone who has bipolar who has also had biological kids? Like, have you ever had those conversations with someone?
I actually haven't. I've met people who've had depression and stuff, and there are like antidepressants and stuff that you can stay on during pregnancy and during breastfeeding, and there are certain medications where they kind of mimic your meds, but you can be on them, but they're not the same at all. And like, you'll know, most people will know that psychiatric drugs are like, finding the right medication for one person looks completely different for the next, and so tis scary. But if you're bipolar, like
as a whole,
bipolar, and you had a baby, let me know how it went.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like it literally adds like a whole other layer to like already getting pregnant, and it's a whole other thing to think about. Okay. My next reason is a selfish one, but I am scared that I would have kids and then they grow up to resent me. Like, that is a horrifying thought to me.
Dude.
Like, and you see it a lot, you know, like, I think most parents will try their best to give their kids the best life and, like, do what's best for them. But sometimes things don't go to plan, and sometimes your kids end up resenting you. And, like, I think it's incredibly sad, and It does just happen. And I think like having I've seen families, just for example, like people who used to live next to us, like they're quite old, but their kids, like they have the most dysfunctional relationship with their kids I've ever seen in my life. And like, I mean, to be fair, like they're not exactly easy people, but I'm like, it's actually so sad that they don't talk, they don't visit. It was like a lot of just so much drama surrounding that, and I just really don't want that in my life. I mean, obviously nobody wants that, but it is a horrifying thought to me, especially growing up in a close family, you know, like
for sure. Okay, then my next one is a little bit similar to what we've spoken about, but just the fact that I'm not selfless enough.
Yes, I feel the same way.
Because I'm like, I try to be selfless, but I'm like so incredibly human. And like, I would need some serious like selflessness gifted to me by the Lord, because I want an app when I want an app. Like if I want to go out with friends, like I want to be able to do that. And the fact that your child completely takes over your whole life, takes over your schedule, when you do things, how you do things. And it's like, you literally give everything for them. You make so many sacrifices for them. And I'm like, what if I'm not selfless enough?
Yeah.
But I actually spoke to a lady in my church, Christine, and she has 4 kids. And I said to her, like, how are you so selfless? And like, she's like, they've gone through so much as a family, and like, their kids have come with so much sacrifice for them as a family, and they'll tell you that. And she said that it is the most amazing thing when you take a step back and you realize that God loves your kids more than you ever will. And you are simply stewards. And I've never heard parenthood being likened to stewardship before.
I love that, actually. That
is actually so true. Like, God gives you these gifts and you do your best, but at the end of the day, he loves them infinitely more than you ever will. And like, he will look after your kids, you know? Yeah. And so, and she's like, he just gives you this grace where you don't even think about sacrifices. You just do it because you have it in you. Like, you just love them so much that you don't stop and think, oh, this is such a sacrifice. So that was comforting.
Yeah. I think, like, on a similar vein, like, one thing I'm scared of is, like, what if I have this child and I don't, like, naturally love them as much as, like, you think you're going to, or, like, you don't have that connection? Because you do, like, I've heard quite a lot of stories where people, they're like, I did not feel that connection. I did not feel that immediate love, which is scary to me. Like, I never want to have a kid and then think later, oh, I really regret having that child. Because I've also heard people saying that, and that is terrifying to me, because I mean, like, I would rather like not have kids and then regret not having kids than have a kid and regret having that child, you know, which maybe sounds like a selfish thing, but it's also like, it's a human life, and I feel like I would never want to regret bringing a human into the world. But yeah, that is something I think often about, actually.
Yes. Okay, whose turn is it? Me.
I'll just speak because I have
the same thing. So I also wrote that I'm scared I'm going to regret parenthood. And I've spoken to people who said that they love their kids with everything, but if given a do-over, they wouldn't have those kids. And it's such a difficult thing to explain, because it's like, it sounds like you hate your kids, and you don't. You love them with everything. But when you look back, it's like, was that really the right decision? And I don't ever want to feel like that. So...
No, me neither. Okay, another thing is just bringing children into your world that feels like it's crumbling, just socially, politically, economically, environmentally. Like, it really does feel like everything is getting worse. And I think every generation has always felt like that. I mean, like, I'm sure people who brought their kid, like, who gave birth maybe, like, during World War One or World War Two, or, like, during slavery or... anything like that, I'm sure it felt like, oh, what world are we bringing this child into? But it is like, what kind of future are they going to have? Like, when you see, like, just for example, like, when I think about different species going extinct, whatever, like, or like, what if my kid is never going to see a rhinoceros, which is not that deep, but it's also like, it's scary to think about.
It's a straight, yeah, it's scary to think about it. Thought.
Yeah. For sure. And like, if you just apply that to anything else, it's not great. And even if you think about just like technologically the kind of world that kids are being raised up in, like, kids are given like iPads from the time they can like do anything. And that is like scary to me. And like, literally no shade to anyone who does that. Like, you've got to do what you've got to do to entertain your kids sometimes. But it's also like, to be honest, it's not great for their development or for their brains.
And, like, and I wouldn't want to do that, but, like, then kids come home and it's like, but all my friends have tablets.
Exactly.
And it's like, now I hate you, parent. Why can't I have one?
Exactly.
Okay. Then this is probably, like, hands down my biggest fear, is my kids not loving Jesus. Because like I'm the type of person where my kids will come to church with me and they won't have a choice because they are my children, but I'm never going to force my religion on them. So they need to get to a place where they need to choose Jesus for themselves. And like the thought that they won't choose him is terrifying to me. But I was speaking to a lady in my church as well, and she said, obviously it's not a reason not to have kids, and you just need to like walk the talk, like
exactly.
love them like Jesus does, because that is just like, that's all you can do. And hopefully they'll see that in you and, you know, want the same thing or like see like how good God is. But ultimately, like, you can't decide, and it's important that you give them the space to explore. But I'm still scared that, like, I can do everything right and give them that space, and, like, they still won't choose him. Like, that's, like, devastating to me, and I'm terrified. So
yeah, that is scary. Yes. And I think also, like, being a pastor, there's also a lot of pressure on, like, the children of a pastor to act in a certain way. Yes, which, yeah, it definitely compounds that. And, yeah, I think, I mean, just when you're choosing to raise your child in a certain religion or to, like, believe a certain thing, like, you actually don't have a control over that. And I think what you're saying is so important, is, like, walking the talk. Because when you speak to a lot of people who maybe were raised Christian and then turned away, it's because they see the hypocrisies. They see, like, their mom and dad saying, do this and do this, but then they're seeing them do something else, you know, and like acting in a way that they don't want to act. And
for sure,
like when you're seeing like the ugly side of people, or people who like go to church but don't actually believe like what is being preached, like the kids are going to be like, cool, well, this means nothing to me. This is not a way I want to live. But it is like, that is also something I think about, like, because you always think like, oh, I'm going to do things in this way so my kids don't end up like this. But you have actually no control over someone. Like, and I think this is like one of the most important things when you have kids. You have to realize that they're not your possession. Like you said, you are stewards over them. But like, they are their own person. They are probably going to disagree with you on a lot of things. And you need to be able to have those conversations with them.
Yeah,
but
did
you just want to talk about the whole pastor thing?
Yes. So that's another fear, is like, if I'm in ministry, like there is so much pressure on pastors' kids to be involved in everything, to be perfect kids, you know, to be this shining example. And the reality is that pastors' kids are the same as every other kid, you know.
Literally, they're not more holy.
Expectations on pastors' kids, and I don't think it's fair. If you're not expecting something of unexpected of another child just because they're a pastor's child, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's like, I even the people in a congregation, and so it's like, I'm just terrified that like my child will have to go through being put under like a ridiculous amount of pressure that they were never meant to be put under.
Absolutely. So,
to my future congregations, stay away from my kids or us.
Yeah. Okay, I'm coming to like the end of my list. But one of my fears, and this is also like, I don't know, but like, what if I die, or like, what if they become orphans or something like that? You know, like, it sucks. Like, it really sucks to think about like your future kids, like maybe having to be without a mother or a father, like having to deal with death or anything like that.
And
that scares me for them. Like, it doesn't scare me for me, but for them.
Yeah. You'll be doing fine. They'll be the ones that like suffer the repercussions of loss. Okay, I have a couple more, but you might want to bounce off them.
I have like one or two more.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
So this is going back to like postpartum breastfeeding. Terrified. Okay. Terrified because a lot for the longest time growing up, I'm just like, breastfeeding is something that every woman does and it's easy because like you just have these natural instincts. And you and I both know that's not the case. We've seen and heard horror stories and like babies that don't latch or you don't do it properly. And so like I just praise the Lord for like lactose consultants. But at the same time, like it's not comfortable for a good while. Like if you just think about it as a woman, you just think about it and you haven't breastfed before and just imagine like someone just like sucking on your boob and I'm like, oh, that sounds annoyingly painful. And like some people, some kids are born with teeth. I'm like, heck no.
Terrifying. Yeah.
So, and like mastitis seems like the most painful thing. And I'm just like, it's a no for me, dog. Like I'm, but I want, I like, if I have kids, I want to breastfeed.
You
like,
gotta try.
Yeah. Cause like, it's, I think it's like a connection thing, but also like so much cheaper.
So much cheaper, less like, less waste as well.
Exactly. Yeah,
it is like the most sustainable way to feed your baby if you can.
Yes, but it does scare me. And I'm like, what if I hate it? Or what if I'm not able to? Like, that's sad.
Yeah, I think I was like, I have been quite lucky in the sense that I've grown up in a family that has focused a lot on breastfeeding. Like I grew up with like seeing my mom breastfeed, seeing my aunts breastfeed, my grandmother's a lactation consultant. So
did I say lactose consultant?
Yes, you did.
Lactose, some milk.
Yes. So I have like always just grown up knowing that like that is something that I would want to do and something that I would try my absolute best to do. Obviously, like a lot of women have tried and tried and tried and it just didn't work out. And like you're not
and
a failure
okay.
for doing that. You're not a failure at all. Like
but it's
you gotta
still
feed
like
your baby.
Scary.
So,
exactly.
And like it also just goes back to you're having a plan in your like in your mind about how you want like your birth or like you want to breastfeed your baby and then it doesn't go to plan and I think it can be devastating.
For sure.
And it's okay to feel that way, but it is scary to think about. Okay, my last one is just having to make decisions for a whole person. So it's like from the small things even like. What to name them, like if you
naming
if you
a child
you see some things that people like name their kids and I'm like you do realize that they're going to grow up to be like a person, like an adult, they're not a little accessory or doll, right? Because I'm like, do you know how ruthless people are when it comes to names?
Iconic. like you can't name your child Iconic.
No,
but people
can't.
Have legend
and it's crazy. And then also like knowing, for example, like where to send them to school or like if you want to homeschool, like it's all those decisions and like they do ultimately like mold your kid into who they're going to be. And I think it's like pretty scary to be like making choices that are going to affect someone for probably most of their life. Yeah, terrifying. Yeah. How must I know?
Like piggybacking off that, I also wrote like the fact that childhood is the most formative period in someone's life. There are things that can happen to you at 2 years old that is going to affect you at age 50. It's just like all research points to how formative those years are. And the fact that you are the primary person in that person, in that like child's life, like you are shaping them and it's going to affect them for the rest of their life. And like, if you screw up, like by God's grace, he will like change trajectories and help your child get over childhood trauma and stuff. But like I think you could be well-meaning and still mess your kid up. And I think you said that earlier on. And it's just the fact that childhood is so formative and you are the person that's going to influence your young child more so than anyone else. Like the idea of a child, like, you know, struggling with issues, like well into adulthood that I caused. Terrifying. Yeah.
I think also like you also have to we also have to consider like a lot of parents also like have not healed from their own traumas in their life and then they essentially project that onto their kids as well. So
like,
it's like this
generational thing.
Trauma.
It is a real thing. It's like a biblical and spiritual thing, you know?
It is.
It's like it is like terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, there's you know? Studies done on like kids or like whatever who are descendants of people who survived the Holocaust or whatever, and they have this generational trauma that like
it's like
they didn't even necessarily go through it, but they experienced the side effects for generations to come. So it's
things like divorce and alcoholism are also, you see, like such a generational thing, and it's just crazy how it's crazy.
I'm done with my reasons, so you can
run through the rest of yours. Finish these. So the one thing is that I won't have motherly instincts, because some people say that you just don't have them. I'm like, people are like, you'll just know your like natural like instincts will like kick in. And I again, I was speaking to Ali, and she was like, people told me, and then I was like, okay, but where are they? This baby's crying. They are fed. Like, they are changed. Like, there's no reason for this child to be crying. Sometimes they just want to
be held. Yeah.
I'm holding them and they're still crying. And it's like, where are the instincts? Yeah. Why aren't they kicking in? So that. Safety. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, I can't.
Like, keeping them safe. And like, I spoke to your mom about this. And she said, like, safety is not a reason not to have a child. But she said, like, it is terrifying. And she's lost her kids in shopping centers before.
And she said
that there's no worse feeling. And, like, you can only protect them for so long. Mm. And, like, dude, I think of, like, human trafficking and stuff like this. And I want to die. And
I would,
Like, protecting my child online. Like, online is, like, a terrifying other world where they can get lost and kidnapped. Yeah. And
it's scary for me. I can't even imagine, like, being a young child on the internet, you know? Like,
and it's, like,
I
wasn't allowed on the internet for a while. Internet use, you know?
Exactly.
Because it's become something that's, like, pivotal, and, like, you get to school and, like, projects are now designed where you kind of, you use the internet. You have to have the internet. So you have to have the internet. But, like, how do you protect a child without completely hiding them away? Because sometimes I'm like, I'll just hide my child in a room for their whole life, which you can't do.
Okay, Gothel from Rapunzel.
That movie. But then, like, also your mom was saying, like, when your child gets older, you do have things like Google location, and it's a lot easier to find children now than, like, back in the day if a child went missing. But, like, no. Madeleine McCann did.
I would never recover.
So, but that kind of wraps up the episode. I don't think having kids is, I think that there are many fears, and I think a lot of people have these fears, and I don't think that a lot of them are reasons not to have children at all.
Yeah.
But I think, like, just a comfort for anyone who's like, I don't want to have kids. Does that make me a crazy person? I don't think it does.
No.
I think it makes you pretty human.
Yeah. And I've heard a lot of people. Just because you're a woman
doesn't mean that you have to have children. Like, it's okay if you don't.
I've heard a lot of people, like, almost get angry with women who don't want to have kids. And it's like,
bizarre.
Oh, you're being selfish. Or, like, what about the woman who can't have children and now you're actively deciding not to have a kid? And it's, like, bizarre. Like, it's not about you.
Yeah.
And I think if you don't have kids, please don't have a child in case you regret not having kids. Like, you, I truly believe, like, if you have the choice, if you have any sort of control over it, like, don't make those decisions based on how you think you might feel in the future. Like, it's a lifelong thing, and I really do want to emphasize that. But, like, there are, like, a few things that, like, make me excited to have kids. I don't know if you, like, wrote anything down, but I
no, but I'll think of a couple of things off the top of my head.
Yeah,
quickly.
I'll just, like, run through some of mine, like, very, very quickly, just because I don't want to go have this episode too long. But anyway, you know us.
Yes.
The first one is just raising a more loving and ethical generation. Yeah, that is something. I mean, it's a lot of pressure on the kid, of course, but, like, it makes me excited to think of, like, if we all decide that we want to, like, raise our kids to be, like, more caring, then, like, just imagine what could happen. Another one is just having, like, half of me and then half of the person I love in, like, one person. It's so exciting.
It is the coolest thing.
Yeah. Another one is just creating a loving home. Like, I would really want to have that kind of home where, like, my kid can bring their friends over and it can just be a fun little time. I hope they have friends.
I have the most fun at the Murray house. See y'all on New Year.
So, yeah, that is, like a really exciting prospect to me. Another one is just doing things with my kids. I never want to be like one of those parents where you have kids and then the fun stops. Like for example, if you and your spouse like to go hike or you like to go and do whatever, like I never want to be that person where like, oh, it stops and we stay at home and we never go out. Like yeah. I want to bring my kids and like we can go do fun stuff together.
I know. My kids are going to be so bored. I love staying home.
No, oh, me too. I'm such a homebody, but I also like...
No, for
like
sure.
Like you will have, like you find things that you like doing. Enjoy. Eventually.
Yeah, for sure.
And then another one is just like raising your kids, not only with your partner, but also with like the people you love. So like I'm a firm believer in like it does take a village in a sense. So like, yeah. So like having like their grandparents or like their aunts and uncles or like just having like my friends around them as well.
Aura.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Your kids are gonna love me.
They will. Like it's you are like a product of the people you spend time with, and I think it's exciting 100%. Like if they're spending time with the people you love. And then another one is just like very superficial, very basic, is that kids can be so, so cute. I just love watching them
dressing them up as well.
Dressing them, and like I've always said, like, I find the baby stage, like, the newborn, like, baby stage of a baby, like, it's pretty boring, to be honest. I'm like, cool, you literally do nothing. I'm sure,
it's
like, when I have my
part.
Own. No. When I have my own, I'll be like, oh, so
newborns.
Cute. But, like, when I see children, like, little babies, not little babies.
Yeah,
like,
I send you like, stuff say, of, like, Sage, yeah. Lindsay Arnold's daughter, all the time.
Yeah. And, like, I just love watching them learn and, like, watching how their little minds work and, like, when they were learning new words. And I'm like... It's just amazing to watch, and I would, yeah, I think it's so cool. Yeah, those are my reasons.
I think having children is, like, the biggest miracle. Like, how? Mm. Like, people, like,
well,
see,
I can tell
like,
you
mats.
How Zara.
People see mats, and they're like, oh, my goodness, God is, like, real. And I'm like, human
I don't care about maths.
Being born. God is real.
But, happens.
Yeah, thank you. Tell me after, though.
Okay,
in case
well.
I have lots of questions. Yeah. I think a lot of the reasons that you said, but then also like I was speaking to someone this week and they're like, my kids make me laugh more than anyone.
Yeah.
Like they are a constant form of entertainment and it is literally the best. Like my 7-year-old will walk in and say the most like hilarious thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, we just laugh so much that it's just such a nice environment
that.
To be in. Mm. Which is cool. And then also, like, just as a disciple of Jesus, the idea mm-hmm. that, like, by God's grace, I could raise someone who is going to impact the kingdom far more than I ever could.
Yeah.
Like, or just one short story we can cut out if we don't have time, is I met someone a couple of months ago, and then they study at Stellenbosch, and then they came back now for holiday. And we were chatting, and I was like, what are the chances you know Autumn Niertlung? And he was like, Autumn, the worship leader. And I was like,
aww.
Yeah, probably. And he was just going on about like how amazing she is. And I was like, I'm the
That's
one
so
that
special.
Led her to faith. Like God
yeah.
chose me to be the one to lead her to faith and to baptize her. And now like she is just, I feel like she's just done exceedingly more than like I have.
Yeah.
And like she's just impacting people for the kingdom. And I'm like.
Yeah, I love Autumn. She's such a cutie.
I love Autumn too. Shout
and
out
beautiful
to her. She
voice.
Doesn't listen to this podcast enough.
Well, she has to listen to this one for a special surprise.
She does. Yes, so that was cool. And then he knew another
yeah.
guy that Sean like mentored and like
oh that's
taught
amazing.
To play guitar and I'm like the generations
yeah
not.
yeah that's beautiful.
So it is exciting, and I will end this episode with what almost every single mother I spoke to said, and they were like, kids are a gift from the Lord and are the most wonderful things. And I'm like, if you have kids like Danielle and I, that would make sense. So
much
thank
sense.
You.
Yeah.
The end. Guys, we'll see you in the next episode.
Uh-huh.
And that's all I have to say. Awesome. We love you and we're glad that you were all born. Otherwise, we wouldn't
yes.
have listeners.
Yes. Thank you so much for doing that for us. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.